You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, folks, as we wrap up here in the third hour, our first broadcast of 2019, I'm very excited to have our good friend Rich Hamblin back on the show. So Rich is a lifelong activist and a longtime listener, a member of the League of the South, overall great guy, a fighter and a good man he is, and this is the kind of guy you'd want in a trench with you, God forbid, if the shooting ever starts. I'm dear friends with him and his wife. They are two of the finest people I've ever met, and that's the truth. Now, we talked with Rich a few weeks ago, right before he left for South Africa. We talked to him a couple of weeks ago, midway through his trip. Now he's back home here in Tennessee. He's a fellow Confederate and a Tennessean, and we're going to talk to him now that it's all over about his observations. It's going to be a firsthand accounting of what he witnessed. And, of course, when we talk about South Africa, anybody could talk about South Africa based upon what they read. And we do that. And it's also, of course, a great honor to be able to have people like Simon Roche on from St. Landers to talk about it from the South African perspective. I mean, of course, how wonderful is that? But to have Rich on tonight, I think, is also interesting in a very unique way because you're going to get a firsthand report from an American who was there and can relate the situation there with the situation here, who saw it with his own eyes. And so we're going to take full advantage of that right now. Rich, how are you? And Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you too, James, and thank you for the kind words.
Well, hey, you earned them. I don't give them away for free. That's the life you've led, and you're deserving of all of that and much more. But let's get started tonight. I mean, traveling to South Africa alone must have been an experience worthy of a retelling here on the radio. Talk about traveling to South Africa. Once you got there, traveling within South Africa, where you were and where you stayed.
Well, as you know, Simon Roche and I became fast friends last year, and he traveled with me and several other people up to Charlottesville. In addition, he stayed at our home for about 3 weeks until he returned to South Africa. So we got to know him pretty well, and he was always after me and Janice to come down to South Africa, as he does with all Americans, to see the situation with our own eyes. So we finally got things in order to where we could travel and decided to take him up on his offer and left on the 9th of December here and just returned here on New Year's Eve. We spent a total of about 3 weeks there. We were in the central part of the country in what's called the Northern Cape province, right on the Orange River, part of the old, right across the border from the what was formerly known as the Orange Free State, which is now called Free State. And it's a pretty rugged territory, but it's a desert which the African farmers have made to bloom. It's harsh territory. It was very hot where we were. It averaged around 102 degrees, but it was very low humidity. So I guess it was a lot like extreme West Texas or maybe Arizona as far as its climate goes. So we were based there in a small town called Vanderkloof, which is right by the what was formerly known as the Larue Reservoir, and which was constructed by the apartheid government to provide hydroelectric power and irrigation for the farms in the area. About 160 residents there, and I was told that it's practically the only all-white town left in South Africa that's actually a municipality. Orania, which is about 40 kilometers away, is an all-white quote-unquote town, but it's actually a private corporation that's run like a condominium association. You can't move there just because you want to. You got to be, you got to become a member of a part of it and be voted in and all this kind of stuff. So it's all white, and it's supposedly, the crime-free town in South Africa. And most like, I guess, communities here in the United States. Everywhere else in South Africa we traveled, there are security fences, security gates. Generally, it reminds me of driving through downtown Memphis or the worst parts of Nashville and the deterioration of the society. But we were based out of Vandercliff, and we met some great people there. We traveled around to several farms, got a good idea of what the farmers are facing there and how they conduct their lives, and talked to a lot of people there because we happened to be down there for the December 16th Day of the Covenant, which is the anniversary of the Battle of Blood River in 1838, when the Afrikaners, in thanksgiving for their victory over the Zulus, pledged themselves to the Lord's service and commemorate that victory to this very day. It's now officially known as Reconciliation Day since the ANC took over, but to the Afrikaners, it's still the Day of the Covenant.
Well, that's a fantastic story, and you spent Christmas there as well. And so not only were you there for that Day of the Covenant ceremony, which memorializes and commemorates this God-given victory in battle. I mean, it was a miraculous victory. You were there also for the Christmas season, which I would guess for people like you and your wife who you share with me in the faith, must have been particularly incredible.
Well, it's quite interesting because the South Africans don't really celebrate Christmas like Americans do. Of course, in America, you know, Christmas is a completely commercialized holiday, and it's all about giving gifts and giving and getting and all that kind of stuff. And the retail economy in the States depends on a big Christmas season. Down there, we saw very few decorations. Most of the people that we were with don't really celebrate Christmas that much. They don't have Christmas trees, and we saw a few decorations and such, but it's not like it is over here in the United States. Of course, being a former British colony, they do celebrate Boxing Day, which is the day after Christmas, and that's kind of a national holiday where pretty much everything's shut down and people do whatever they do on Boxing Day in the English tradition. But surprisingly, it was a meaningful holiday for us because we were down there with friends and we actually had a barbecue that night, a braai, as they call it. And South Africans love to braai. I mean, they cook out more than any people I have ever seen. And which brings me to the subject of the food down there. The food down there is just absolutely fantastic. It's so much better than the products that we buy here in the United States. To give you an example, the airline food going down, and we flew down on Delta on a nonstop flight out of Atlanta, was mediocre, but the food on the plane coming back from South Africa was great because it was all procured down in South Africa and it was much higher quality.
Well, that's very interesting. Very interesting. Well, it actually leads me to my next question. We're talking about the culture of the people down there. Let's talk about the people themselves. Your impression of the Boers, your impression of the members of the Saitlanders. I know we're coming up on a break very quickly, so you can get in an opening salvo. Well, actually, you won't. When we come back, we want to learn more about the people. What kind of people are they exactly? Now, we've talked to Simon. Simon's a great friend of ours and an even better friend of yours. But let's talk about the wider community. We're going to find that out from a man who just spent a little over 3 weeks there with his wife there in December. Just got back to the South. Rich Hamblin on PBC Live right now.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
It might have been possible to have a better opening show for 2019 than the one we've produced for you thus far, but you'd have to tell me how. I've enjoyed tonight, every single segment, every single minute of it, especially this hour now that we're into with Rich Hamblin, who's been such a longtime friend of mine. And he's talking to us about what he saw over the course of the last 3 weeks and change in South Africa, just back home to the Southland, back home to Dixie with his wife after spending Christmas and of course, several days beyond that with the Saitlander, Simon Roche, Gustav Muller. We'll talk about that in just a moment, what Rich was able to present to Mr. Muller. But your impression of the Boers, this is what we're asking before the break, Rich. Your impression of the Boers and the Saitlanders, what are these people like in real life behind the scenes as you lived with them for that time?
They are, to sum it up, probably the best of humanity. They are an absolutely fearless and courageous people that are living in a harsh environment. They are tough people. They are hospitable. They are tenacious. And they're some of the finest people I think I've ever met. We had some great times with some of the farmers and, we had some real adventures. Let me put it to you that way. It was quite amazing. I would compare them very much like old time Southerners. It's such a shared experience of what they've gone through. And I'm talking about the Afrikaans speaking Boers. Boer is a farmer, technically. I mean, that's what the word means. And the Afrikaners are the ones that are descendants of the Dutch and the French and the German, peoples that were basically political refugees from Europe that came down and settled in the Cape starting in 1652. And as they began to prosper, they attracted the attention of the British Empire. And the British have been a thorn in the side of the existence of the Afrikaans speaking people throughout history. They fought two wars with the British, lost the second one. The country was just totally destroyed. They recovered, rebuilt themselves, just like Southerners did after the Civil War, and eventually took control of the country and establish their rule, only to be victorious on every front that they were approached in, winning the Angolan wars and the border wars, and witnessing the fall of the alleged fall of communism, I guess you could say, but the defeat of the communists that were attacking them, only to be to have their victory thrown away by sabotage by their leadership and by the global elites that are the same people that are ruining the United States. But the Boers themselves are, they're great. They're physically imposing. They are, they're muscular. You don't see a lot of fat people down there, but they're hard workers. The farmers that we met, they invariably would work until way after dark and get up again at 4:30 in the morning and go back out. We stayed on a couple of sheep farms, one up in the mountains and then one down in the area in the Eastern Cape near Aberdeen, and saw two different operations there. But the one farm ran about 9,500 sheep. It was a big operation. The farm wife was cracking the whip in the absence of her husband, who was out fighting a range fire. Basically, when we arrived down there, it's been extremely dry. They're in about the eighth year of a drought, and there were lightning strikes as we were approaching this place. And some of the felt, as they call it, caught on fire. And so he took his field hands with him and went off to fight it in one place till about 11 o'clock, and then left out early before we got up the next morning to go to another area and tackle it. But they're tough, hardy people. They're resourceful. They got a real tie to the land. And this one family, this was the ninth generation of that family to occupy the same farmhouse, going back to the 1840s and so, and they're just, they're the salt of the earth. I mean, they're extremely devout, extremely religious, not boastful, but they are tough characters, believe you me.
Well, I'll tell you, coming from a guy like you, and I know not everybody knows you like I do, Rich, but that kind of comment coming from a guy like Rich ought to carry weight with you, let me tell you. Let's talk a little bit more about what you heard. Now, anytime we talk about South Africans, the Boers, the Saitlanders, you immediately conjure up images of the farm murders. So what did you hear? Obviously, I don't guess you saw any of these murders, the murder rate now? I was just going to ask you very quickly about the farm murders and the murder rates now versus apartheid, et cetera. Take it away.
Oh, it's ongoing. one of the farms we stayed at, there was a murder within – two murders within just a few miles of where we were. The farms, because of the nature of the land down there, are extremely large. They're grazing land for the most part. South Africa is one of the world's biggest producers of wool, especially Angora fleece from goats. They make very fine products down there, woven products. And so as a result, because the land's so dry and most of the farming is done what they call borehole farming, which is a well, basically. You see a lot of windmills and stock tanks, and the sheep are it looks like totally inhospitable territory, but they managed to raise some of the best herds in the world. But as far as the farm murders go, there were, in 2018, the stats are out, there were 460 farm attacks in the year and 64 murders. There's only about 25,000 farmers in South Africa. Simon Roche pointed this out in his speech to the EU. Murder rates are figured on per 100,000 base, per capita. And so if you take that 25,000 and there were 64 murders last year, you basically have to multiply that by four. So you get, 256, I guess, a rate of 256 murders per 100,000. Well, compare that to the murder rate in the United States, which is supposed to be gun crazy, and it's like 4.9. So that gives you an idea of what the magnitude is. And these aren't just murders. They are what anybody would say is a hate crime, because they torture. They last for hours, and they do horrible things to these people. And and they're not hate crimes, but then why would the perpetrators write in blood on the wall you know, kill all the whites. So that's the stuff we heard about going. And we went and saw the physical security at these farmhouses. A lot of them have iron bars on the exterior, and they also have iron gates interior inside the house in case somebody makes it in there, so that they can block off the sleeping quarters, you know, during the night. So it's, these things are very real. During apartheid, I think the murder rate was averaging 167 per year for the entire population. There's approximately 28,000 murders a year among the blacks. You know, they get drunk, they cut each other or shoot each other or whatever.
They call that progress, Rich. They call that progress here in America.
Right, right. There's something been something like 400,000 people murdered since the end of apartheid in 1994. So I mean, that just it's the place was once first world. In fact, from 1961 to 1994, the South African rand was valued at $1.40 U.S., and that was pretty consistent. Since 1994, the rand has decreased in value down to 7 cents, just 7 cents. You know, it's 14 rand to the dollar now, approximately. And
wow. Living, so you're talking about compared to the dollar, it was $1.40. Now it's 7 cents compared to the dollar.
7 cents.
That's just
dropping. It's just dropping.
Hey, Rich, you were right. This could fill 3 hours. I thought with Eddie taking the night off tonight, we could cover it all easily in three segments. We're not even scratching the surface, but we will be back with Rich right after this. What an incredible hour of radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I am more than satisfied with what we have been able to bring to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. In this, our first broadcast of 2019, I am proud to be James Edwards today, as in every day. What an honor it is to be one of the men out front and on the lines and in public and doing the things aggressively and dominantly like a man should do, like Rich Hamblin has done and is doing. And Rich, of course, was just there in South Africa speaking to super conservative people. Rich, let's talk about the future. I want to circle back. Well, hang on. Actually, before we do that, there is what I believe to be a fantastic picture. It's a picture that I just put out on Twitter. It is a picture of you and Gustav Mueller, who is the head of Saintlanders. And, of course, we know Simon Roche and his travels here in America and how we all became in touch with him and the numerous appearances he's made on this show. But there's a picture of you presenting the Southern Nationalist flag to Gustav Mueller, and it is two men joined in a very firm and manly handshake that I think that picture is one that speaks a thousand words. Take us to that point, and then let's get back to the people you spoke with and what they are expecting. But the presentation of the flag to Gustav and that picture, what was that moment like?
Well, it was great. We had supper with Mr. Mueller twice, actually. And the first time we were it was right prior to the Day of the Covenant ceremony, and then there were three other Americans there with us, so I didn't really get a chance to speak with him. But then the following Friday, I had a private meeting with him. He and his family and my wife and Simon were there, of course, and we talked for, I guess, I don't know, 3 hours, I guess. We had it was a great conversation. I presented him the league flag, and I asked him basically, you know, how the league can help Saintlanders right now. And Simon is getting ready to make another tour of the United States. I think he's coming over here on the 10th and is going to meet with some members of Congress, actually, and I think he's going to be on some other programs too, and he may even be back through Tennessee. I'm not sure. But Mr. Mueller said the things that can help them most right now is to help facilitate Simon's visit in the United States, you know, financially as well as you know, helping him make contacts. Two, to keep raising the awareness of the Saintlanders organization and what they're trying to accomplish down there. And three, contact our elected representatives, you know, to bring it up on the radar screen so that, you know, some help can be mobilized for them. They are placing a lot of faith in Donald Trump because of that tweet he made, I believe it was in November, asking Pompeo to investigate the farm murders, which, to my knowledge, has not gotten anywhere. But they have a lot of faith in him, and I really kind of had to bring some of them down to earth, you know, on what the political realities are in the United States. Just as Americans are pretty much ignorant of what's going on in South Africa, South Africans are pretty much ignorant of what's really going on in the United States. There's just a lot of dynamics that we're not aware of, and the same thing is true of them as far as we're concerned. In South Africa, there are 11 different languages spoken. You know, that includes the English and the Afrikaners and then tribal languages. South Africa really should not be a single country. It should be broken up into its constituent parts. And that's the direction that the Afrikaner Boers were going in when the British interfered with them and conquered them and turned them into a unified republic. And I think that's a lot of what they were trying to accomplish during apartheid when they established the tribal homelands for the blacks to, you know, set them up on their own, you know, every tub with its own bottom, basically, and set them up to where they could develop into their full potential, because South Africa is showing, as the United States is too, that integration does not work. You know, and I think they've got their eyes more wide open than we do in facing that reality.
Well, I would encourage people, Rich, to check out our Twitter at James Edwards TPC. We just posted this photo, and this photo is really striking. It is two men eyeball to eyeball in a firm handshake holding a flag. You can tell it is two men, you and Mr. Mueller, who are joined in a faith, in a fight that transcends us all. Check it out. It is a stirring image, to be sure. And we only have a couple of minutes remaining with you, Rich. So I want to be sure to get to this. First of all, I'm excited that Simon's coming back to the United States. We would love catching up with him again. He's been on the show many times before, but to hear what his most recent travels are about and what he's accomplishing would be fantastic. But I know you talked to these people about the future, and I know you told me that they are expecting a civil war, and perhaps even soon. You're talking about the blacks over there in South Africa continually advocating for, not just talking about, but advocating for violence against whites. Training camps in Zimbabwe. Normies maybe are waking up, but the economy continues a downward spiral. And most Boers or Afrikaners are not leaving because it costs too much money and there is nowhere to go. So this is the reality that they face. What does the future like in short order? We have about 2 or 3 minutes remaining, and it's all yours, Rich.
Yeah, I think it's an unhappy future. It's the one thing that's sustaining people like Sightlanders is their faith in God. They're extremely devoted people. Gustav Mueller is a preacher as well as a leader of his group. He delivered the sermon on the Day of the Covenant, and we went down on the banks of the Orange River at a building there and assembled with, I don't know, probably 100, 150 people to listen to the sermon. Unfortunately, it was all in Afrikaans, so we couldn't quite understand what he was talking about. He was preaching on Zephaniah. But, they are a stalwart people. Farm prices, because of the threat that looks like it's going to be carried out of expropriation without compensation, has caused prices to plummet. I mean, farm prices are down anywhere from 30 to 50% at the auctions. It's not an easy thing to pick up and leave. Russia has offered, asylum to 15,000 farmers. I think only maybe six or so have taken them up on it because they've got to have $100,000 cash to go there first, and then they've got to buy equipment and all this kind of stuff. And if you know anything, these are highly developed commercial farmers. Farms are based on borehole technology, and I mean, it's a tractor can easily cost you $75,000 to $100,000. Well, they're not able to, because of the declining value of the rand going from $1.40 down to 7 cents. Assets they have is just diminished, and there are no buyers. I mean, who would want to buy a farm only to have it confiscated by the government in 6 months? By the same token, they're not planting crops. Because, who wants to invest all the money in plowing and seeding and all this kind of stuff only to have it taken away by the government? The rhetoric from the blacks is getting outrageous. There was a filmed a murder of a white man by a black alleged thief. I mean, it's on Twitter. I mean, it went viral. Well, the murderer got out on a 5,000 rand bond, which is like about $345, Yet they sentence white people to 3 years in prison for saying the kafir, kafir word, which is the South African equivalent of the N word. The rule of law didn't mean anything down there anymore. Corruption is rife. Keith touched briefly on the role of the Chinese down in South Africa. That's the big the untold story. I've heard some speculation that Trump's tweet may be setting up a pretense for an intervention in South Africa in order to counter the Chinese influence down there, to fight a proxy war against the Chinese. Because the Chinese are there. They're not very visible, but they're there. There are like 13.
Well, I know you told me. Yeah, I was just about to say, you mentioned that there's 13 Chinese police stations there to protect, defend and protect the Chinese people that are there in South Africa doing whatever it is they're doing down there.
Right. And the Chinese just foreclosed on Kenya's major seaport because the Kenyans borrowed money from the Chinese to finance a railroad and then failed to pay it. Well, part of the loan agreement was that the Kenyans signed over their sovereignty over the territory, so the Chinese now own that, own that piece of property. Bear in mind, the Chinese are running Long Beach Harbor out in California, and they've got both ends of the Panama Canal. So that's how they operate. but they are all over Southern Africa. And to be quite honest, I think the globalists wouldn't care if there's not a living soul left in South Africa as long as they can control the resources and the strategic location of the Cape of Good Hope, because that controls the sea lanes. And if the Suez Canal gets closed, then there's only one place for that oil to go to get to North America, and that's around the Cape of Good Hope. And whoever controls that is going to control the oil flow. So, I mean, South Africa is very important strategically, and that's why America should be concerned about it. There's a lot of other stories I could tell you about the times I had with the Boer farmers. I mean, like midnight runs into black townships for liquor. And this kind of, anybody in the daytime in a sane moment wouldn't even think about, but they're just so to tell you about what happened down there.
We might save it for next week. Rich, thank you so much. What a fantastic hour. We'll be.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Friday, I'm in love. Well, I'm in love every day, I guess you could say. I'm a married man, but we just spent the last three segments with Rich, who went from Tennessee to South Africa. What a story. I think in many ways the highlight of tonight's broadcast. But now we're going to be talking with Jack Ryan in this, our final segment of the first show of the year. And Jack has traveled from Illinois to South Carolina. Now, he's going to tell us all about that, and it's going to start with the song and his other recommendations of the week. Take it away, Jack, our first show of the year. Great to have you back. I know you missed last week.
Great to be back. Well, I just, the Cure was Friday I'm 11, so that's, it's one of the musical genres that I like is British, British Invasion, or just British songs, so it's a good song. So I want people, things are rough and stuff, but you still should try to promote good music and have good music. So that's one of the good songs I like, the Cure, Friday I'm in Love, and so that's the music I have. I am supposedly in South Carolina, but I'm in Hilton Head, South Carolina, but there's not a lot of Southern people here. I don't hear a lot of Southern accents here, and I feel like I'm in Connecticut. I'm in some suburban place. It's like I'm helping, and there's just not a lot of Southern people there. Like, so I feel like
all right, look, we talked about this. Hang on a minute. Yeah. We're gonna get to the bottom of this, but let's first work through your other recommendations. I mean, we talked about the song. Let's talk about book and movie. We got to do that, and then we're gonna try to get this thing straightened out.
We got to do this lop in 11 minutes. Okay, so I'm going to say my book and movies are going to be the same. I was going to have some choice in it. But my book and movie are A Streetcar Named Desire. And the author is Tennessee Williams. And they made a great Broadway play with a great movie starring Marlon Brando and Evan Lee, A Streetcar Named Desire. It's very Southern. And I didn't know this before, but the actors that play Scarlett O'Hara and then Blanche DuBois was the same gal, Evelyn Lay, and it's very Southern, and it's a tremendous one, but it's not a happy play. It's a depressing one. A gal that was from a great Southern family, things went bad, and then her sister married some working class guy in New Orleans and went by with it. It's a rough like story, but it's fantastic. So that's my recommendation tonight: is the Streetcar Named Desire. And Tennessee Williams, and the director is Alia Kazan, and all of Alia Kazan's Broadway shows and movies are fantastic. They're excellent. They're there, and he got in trouble because he was part of a communist one, and then he went against them, and he cooperated with McCarthyism, and he got double blacklisted. So that's my recommendation: is A Streetcar Named Desire is my recommendation.
All right. Well, you're not the cultural correspondent for nothing. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking. Jack always offers these book, movie, and music recommendations. We have this brand new website, okay, coming up. You know, we talked about this earlier, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Well, it's the same website. I guess I should keep repeating myself, but it is the same website, okay? But it's going to be a newly redesigned look, and we're going to have Jack's bio up once and for all. He's only been with us for a little more than a year now. We're going to have his bio up, and, well, an interesting picture for Jack, and that's coming up here in the next couple of days. So check out thepoliticalcesspool.org. Don't forget it. I mean, we spared no expense on this new website, I might add. But anyway, Jack is the cultural correspondent. But Jack, you're back in South Carolina. Right. We talked about this last year. Last year, you took the trip to South Carolina, and you said you left Illinois to go to the South, and all you surrounded yourself with Yankee snowbirds down there on vacation. You know, they were wintering, as it were. I thought you would avoid that this time after learning from experience last year.
Well, that's a mean word to call people Yankee. That's just, why don't you call me some curse word, mother?
Well, absolutely. I didn't call you that. No. Don't get me wrong. I didn't call you that. I called the, I would never call a person from Chicago that. I was calling the Ohioans that.
They are just boring people, and they're boring. I mean, they're not, they don't have a high crime rate. They're not here to incite the Negroes to revolt or anything like that. But there's just a lot of really boring Midwestern people. So I have it like there, but I've got off, but I wanted to go. But when I flew down, I had an hour and a half delay in Charlotte, North Carolina. It was so nice. It was so good. I had more attractive friendly women be nice to me and socialize with me in 1 hour than I did the last year in Chicago. So that I was in the South, and it was good, and it was great. So that's nice one to go. Like, I'm going to go like there, so that's really good. But you got to get off the coast. You got to get on there and into the South. And so that's my deal. I'm going to get off the East Coast, this Hilton Head and a place, and get into places, Savannah, Georgia. Yeah, I know. They're coming up. So I want to get in the South, and that's my goal. I'm here for the whole month, and I'm available. People can write me. If you've got some gal, she's not married, she's got a few extra pounds, I'm an eligible bachelor, I'm there, I've got some on a big income, but like there, yeah, I want to meet a Southern gal, so I'm healthy, I'm a good tennis player, I'm a good partner dancer, I've got good knowledge of books and movies, so hey, yeah, you know, let's go, but Hilton Head is boring, it's like, there's nobody here, it's dull, it's like, it's not. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah, and there's not black gang members shooting people in Chicago. But it's dull. It's boring. It's hard to. There's no people to socialize with it. So that's my experience.
Ladies and gentlemen. But you have been to Savannah, though. You're in Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah. No, it's just across. It's about a 40-minute drive from Hilton Head. So I got in there, and then the place is booming. It's going good. You know, it's got a little bit. There's not enough Southern accents, but the town is doing good. So Savannah is a good one. So
yeah, Savannah.
Great push. Yeah.
You've got to somehow, some way, get to Charleston. Charleston is the holy city. You can fall in love in Charleston. Of course I've fallen in love in Charleston. I've been to Charleston a few times before I was married. And Charleston, let me tell you, if you can't find love in Charleston – but you were talking about some of the things, Jack, your attributes, and they're all good. I mean, tennis player, partner, dancing. You left out the fact that there is a chance that a woman there in the South Carolina, Georgia area could have a date with a legit member of the TPC crew. Now, that is big. That is big. So if, you know, if we're looking to make a love connection, just call me Chuck Rulery tonight. How do we do that, Jack? I mean, if somebody there in South Carolina wants to meet Jack Ryan, they listen to you every week. They're, you know, Savannah, South Carolina, Georgia area. How do they get in touch with you? You got to have an email address. I mean, let's just look. We're all here about. We want to make families. You know, we're all about the family. That's what we're here for.
Oxnard Descent. If I could give out. I've got a business email. I got the platform because I supported Donald Trump. I got my Facebook. I've got my Twitter account. All these things got wiped out or something like that. I could give you an email or something. Is that something email that I could give out on the line or what could I?
Well, I mean, you got a Proton Mail, right?
Yeah, I got a Proton Mail. Yeah, I just.
Yeah, nothing's beneath me, Jack. Do it.
Okay, Jack Ryan, OD at Proton Mail. Jack Ryan, OD, no spaces at Proton Mail. It's a Swiss secret one, and they've got the ones, and yeah, no, it's the gal and like my ones. I've got some wealth, not a great income, but I've got a wealth, and I'm a good partner dancer. If you can like talk to Hunter Wallace, Brad Griffin, I went to his wedding. I was the best dancer there.
Hey, he's a partner dancer. He plays tennis. He's in the South. He's got wealth. He's an OD writer and a TPC on-air contributor.
Right.
Jack,
I don't like lawyers.
I mean,
no women lawyers. If she's been to law school, that's it, man. No way. I'm not going in there.
Will you take a debutante?
Yeah, no, if it's a good gal, if she just, as long as she doesn't talk to me about politics or, you know, and they're like, you know, maybe, I'm a good cook. I could cook a lot, but she could be able, if she, she should be able to make me a sandwich. Because Chicago women don't ever cook for you. They never clean for you. They'll make you a sandwich. She should be able to like make one dish, like a bowl of cereal for you. If that's something that I like that.
Hey, if we haven't set you up on a day between now and next week, I don't know where we went wrong after this particular segment. What a way to end up the night with all that with all that stuff with Jared Taylor and Rich. We finally got into something serious here.
Yeah, that's procreating.
No, but then
the children. I'm good with children, little kids that just poop and sleep. But like 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds, I'm really good with them. kids like me, children like me. I'm great. I'm good.
Jack Ryan O.D. That's J-A-C-K-R-Y-A-N-O-D is an Occidental descent. Jack Ryan O.D. at ProtonMail.com. Hey, we'll check back with you next week, Jack, and see if you fell in love yet. A week in the South, anybody should be able to do that. Okay, buddy. Talk to you next week, everybody. Good night. What a great start to the new year.
www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.